And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Amen. Verse 47 is where I'm going to take my title from. In this scripture, Jesus is saying that repentance, or the scripture is saying that what we should be preaching is repentance. And so the title of my message today is Repent. Just repent. Father, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to just fill my mouth with your words. Let your spirit, Lord, give utterance, Lord. Let us, oh God, find good soil, hallelujah, to receive what you have sent today. Lord, we ask you to just fill this sanctuary. Let every word, Lord God, bless, edify. Oh God, lift up, correct, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we have to repent. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. It's strange that you could go through maybe a dozen messages and sermons online and you would find it hard to find one that's just about repentance. And yet we find that this was actually what Jesus commanded, that it should be preached. It said in verse 47 of Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. It's the command of what we should be preaching is repentance. So today, I'm going to preach repentance. Amen. I'm going to preach what God commanded us to preach. Yes, it's great we preach encouraging messages to one another. But this is the only scripture that I see that says we ought to preach repentance. Of all the things that we're commanded to preach, this is one that is explicit. It was the message, actually, that Jesus preached all through his career and all through his ministry to Israel. That's what he preached. He went about telling them to repent. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, we find it says that as soon as Jesus found out that John was put in prison, this was the message. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me tell you, that message has not changed. We need to repent. We need to get ready, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. During his 3.5 years, that's what he taught his disciples to preach. It wasn't about relationships. It wasn't about how you can do this or that. What he preached was, it's time for us to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That message is still as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We get so used to being told that it just goes in one ear and out the other. But we need to wake up, church, because the parable of the 10 virgins, all of them were sleeping. But it's time for the call to go out, repent. It's time for us to get ready. It's time for us to trim their lamps. Someone told me they had a dream. I don't know who it was. And it was about trimming their lamps. Okay. And I'm telling you, the message needs to go out. We need to be getting ourselves ready. When you trim the lamp, what you're doing is you're cutting off all the stuff that causes smoke. You're making sure that the oil can really get there, that what's being produced is light and not so much heat. We need to trim our lamps. We need to repent. You know, it's a message that's in actually short supply. As I said, you could go on the internet, you'll find all kinds of messages about doing this, how to improve this, how to be a better this, how to be come to church more. But all of that will be irrelevant if we are not repented. Nobody seems to need to repent anymore. Nobody is sorry anymore. Nobody needs to cry out for mercy anymore. Nobody has sinned anymore. You know, we're all like that woman at the well that Jesus met. When Jesus talked to her and said, you call your husband, she said, oh, who, me? I don't have any husbands. Jesus said, you've well spoken. Because the man you're living with now is not your husband either. You see, We are called to repentance. Jesus is saying, you know, we've got some stuff to confront. And we're saying, who, me? I don't have no husband. Nobody has sinned anymore. Jesus told you, you better call your husband. You better call your husband. You know, the one good thing about that woman, she didn't continue to deny the truth. She said, sir, I perceive you're really a prophet. She didn't try and obfuscate and lie her way out of it and say, well, yeah, I do have a husband. She fessed up to the fact that she had been trying to deceive. I'm telling you, we are called to repent. That's the only consistent message that the Bible proclaims, that we need to repent. You see, God is rich in mercy, the Bible says, and faithful to forgive, and he will restore. But it does call for us to repent. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, it says this, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. In the messages to the seven churches, guess how many times Jesus says to repent? Seven times. You may say, well, we're saved. Our sins are forgiven. We don't need to repent. Well, here it is, Jesus speaking to seven churches, telling them they need to repent. The message is not old. The message is not stale. The message is brand new. We are called to repentance. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works quickly. He wasn't talking to unsaved people. He wasn't talking to sinners. He were talking to church folks. He was telling them, you still have some stuff you better get right. Because I'm coming for a perfect church. A 50% church won't do. A 90% church won't do. I'm coming for a church, a bride without spot or wrinkle. You, me, need to repent. Imagine seven times to seven churches, he says repent in the space of just 1.5 chapters. This is what he says to the church of Pergamos. Revelation 2:16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. What he's saying, if we don't repent, you know who we'll be fighting against? We'll be fighting against God. God will be in opposition to us. We wonder why we don't get our prayers answered. We wonder why things aren't happening. Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we're fighting God. Maybe we're denying truth. Maybe we're not fessing up. But the call today is repent. Jesus, his whole ministry, he continued what John the Baptist started. When they came out to John, he said, you brood of vipers. He called them snakes. He wasn't careful in how he addressed them. Who has warned you to escape the wrath that is to come? Because there is wrath that will be coming unless we repent. In Revelation 2:16, Jesus speaking to the church of Pergamos, saved people, so-called, he said, listen, repent. This message is for you, it's for me. We can't say like the woman and pretend we don't have no husband. At least she fessed up and owned up that she had some things in her life that needed fixing. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my... I don't want God's word to be against me. The sword of his mouth is his word. Do you understand that? God's word will be against us and bring us into judgment. That's the one thing he said will judge us. He said, I didn't come to condemn you, but the words that I speak, they're going to be your judge. He's told us some things that we ought to do. We should have God first, second, and third in our lives. There should be nothing before him. I need to repent. There's times when sometimes he's not first in my life. I need to repent. We don't want to get the consequences of God's wrath. You see, to the church of Thyatira in verse 22 of chapter 2, he said, behold, I will cast her into a bed and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless we repent, you know what's going to happen? We're going to end up in great tribulation. Let me say that again. The Bible says, unless we repent, we're going to end up in great tribulation. Because there is coming on this earth a time such as never was. Jesus himself said it. He said, no, nor will ever be again. We've forgotten that hell has fires. We've forgotten there is a place that you're going to end up if you do not repent. We need to get serious. Jesus was not kidding when he said, listen, if you don't repent, my words are going to judge you. this church was carrying on with the world, the church of Thyatira. He said, they've gone into bed, they've committed adultery. And because of that, they're going to end up in great tribulation. I'm telling you, this word is serious. This word is not to be played with. I'm preaching what the Bible commands us to preach. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. That's what I'm doing today. I'm doing it with a smile, but I'm doing it today. If you didn't think it was for the church, well, Jesus just corrected you, because in the book of Revelation, it was to seven churches. He said seven times, you better repent. I like some of the things you're doing, but you've got these other things. Each church nearly had something that wasn't right that they needed to clean up. The Bible says he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's not going to force us. We have to recognize who he is. We have to recognize what he has done for us. And if you do that, you will have a love for God. You will have something in your soul that will convict you when you have done wrong. There'll be something that causes you to pray and to cry out for mercy and for restoration and for healing and for deliverance. In other words, for repentance. Repentance, of course, is not just crying. It's changing. Everybody cries, but few people change. A lot of people cry when they get caught, but not many people actually want to change. It says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. This is the message today. This is the one thing I'm saying to you. It's one word, repent. You know why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You may not have been thinking about the rapture lately, but it's still there. It's coming. The world is getting in a panic. You see all the things being fulfilled that the Bible speaks about. Plagues that they can't cure. They think they got a handle on COVID, and then it keeps going. New variations come out. Earthquakes in diverse places. Temperatures they've never seen. Records being broken. Floods everywhere. What do you think is happening, people? This is that which was prophesied. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what he says in Revelation 3:3. He says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. There he is again. Seven times to seven churches. Save people. Jesus is having to say, you better repent. You've got things that are not right. There's things that you're not doing. There's your love that you have lost. You have become consumed with the cares of this world, with your ambition, with your other priorities. You see, without repentance, we're going to miss the rapture. Revelation 3:3 says, remember therefore thou how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. This is a time when you got to hold fast. There's lots of things tearing you out of church. There's lots of things tearing down your faith. There's lots of things coming to take you away. Just as Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. He wants to blow you away with cares of life, with pressures, with all kinds of things. This is when you have to hold on the more. You have to get like blind Bartimaeus and cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. They told him to shut up. You know what he did? He cried out the more. I'm telling you, this is the time to call out and ask God for mercy and grace and strength, because we're going to need it. See, without repentance, we're going to miss the greatest event in history. Shall I tell you why? Because the Bible says no sin is going to enter there. None whatsoever. There's not going to be anything allowed in heaven that's sin. That means we have to have nothing on our conscience. We have to be repentant of the things that we know about. See, a lot of us know about stuff, but we're like the woman. We're trying to brazen it out. Pretend like everything is okay. But Jesus is going to stop us at the well and say, go call your husband. Who, me? I have no husband. See, she was pretending. The one good thing about her is when she was confronted with truth, she acknowledged it. She said, I perceive thou art a prophet. And then she ran and she called everybody. Come see a man who hath told me everything. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Because you know what the next verse says? All the unrepentant don't get to go. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What I'm trying to tell you is without repentance, we're not going to make it. That was Jesus' message during his 3.5 years. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And it is even nearer than it was 2,000 years ago. As you can see, the very fulfillment of prophetic scriptures are happening right upon us, and most of us are blind to it. In a time that you think not, it's going to happen. The reason I got baptized, my father baptized me, is because I thought the rapture had happened. I never want to have that feeling again. I was only 8 years old, but to think of all the years since then that I've come every Sunday to church, that I have prayed, that I've worshiped, to miss out on that event because of some little thing that I had not repented about, something that I had dismissed, something that I was presumptuous about. Oh, God doesn't care about that. He knows all the other good things I do. I come here and I do Bible studies. You see, the Bible says it's not in our righteousness. The only way we get his righteousness is to humble ourselves and repent. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates. Because without are whoremongers, sorcerers, murderers. Nothing that's impure is going to get up there. Let me say it again. Nothing that's impure is going to get up there. You know what that means? We have to repent. Paul said, I die daily, lest I myself become a castaway. He was saying, listen, I might be the great apostle Paul. I've got all these revelations, but I have to make sure that I'm repented, that I'm humbled, that I'm seeking God, that I don't let the world get into me too much, that I'm able to resist, that I'm repented. Listen, this is what we have to do if we want to be saved. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. I had someone come in here some years ago and told me he was perfect. He was perfect. He had no sin. Jesus had taken all his sin. I don't think he knew this chapter. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what I want God to do, to cleanse me from all my unrighteous thoughts, my ways, my desires. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Shall I tell you the first words of the prodigal? Anyone remember the first words of the prodigal when he met his father? Luke 15:21. You'll see why he received repentance and forgiveness. He said, Father, I have sinned. Do you understand what he was doing? He was repenting. The father loved him, but he still had to repent. He still had to acknowledge the fact that he had messed up. He still had to come to the father and ask for forgiveness. We do have to ask. The father is there waiting, but we do have to ask. The very first words out of his mouth, once he realized how he had messed up, how he had wasted the father's inheritance, how he had messed it up and blown it, all of the riches that he'd been given. He came to himself when he was on the pigsty eating the pig's food, and he said, you know what? The servants in my father's house live better than this. Maybe if I go to the father, maybe I can be a servant. You see, our God is rich in mercy and grace. Because he said, Father, I have sinned, God forgave him. The Father forgave him. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You see, repentance requires humility. Just because I'm pastor, I need to humble myself. I need to beg God for mercy. I have to go to his seat and say, Lord, I've messed up. I've thought things. I've been in directions you didn't want me to go. I didn't listen to your voice. I have sinned. This message was to 7 churches. It wasn't to unsaved. He preached it to unsaved, but in Revelation, it was to the 7 churches. And nearly all of them, there was something he said you need to repent about. So let's not all look at it and say, I don't need no repentance. The disciples, when Jesus said, one of you could betray me, you know what they all did? They all said, is it I? They all knew they had weaknesses and points of failure, that without his mercy and grace, they could have all been Judas. But God is so merciful that if we come to him with a broken and contrite heart, the Bible says he is quick to restore. Amen. As I said, the prodigal son in Luke 15:21, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. As I said, true repentance requires us to be humble, to come before God. There's no big bishop or apostle or whatever. You are supposed to be a servant of the living God. One of the greatest examples in scripture of repentance is when Jonah went to the city of Nineveh, who were the ISIS of their day. They were the ones who were killing and pillaging, and you know their main torture was to strip people's skin while they were alive. They would put people on spikes. They were the ISIS of their day, and God commanded Jonah, go preach to them. I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to them. And he said, but God, they're our sworn enemies. This shows you God's mercy and his grace. He is willing and able to forgive anyone who truly, truly repents. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, finally Jonah obeys. You know the story. He tries to escape God's word, and God catches up with him and says, no, Jonah, I have a job for you. You know, if you're called of God, you can run away, but God will chase you down. He doesn't give up. I tried that a few times. I tried to hide from God, but he didn't give up. And I'm grateful for his mercy and his love. God went after Jonah and said, Jonah, I called you to be a prophet. Now go be a prophet. Finally, Jonah obeys, and he goes to Nineveh, and he starts to preach. And what was the message? Repent. That's the message. That's the core message that we all should be preaching. Repent. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jonah chapter 3 verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and he said, you only have 40 days. This whole city is going to be destroyed. We don't know how many days we have. But we do know this earth is going to be destroyed. It's not just going to be the city of Nineveh this time. The Bible tells us, lays it out in Revelation, the terrible things that are going to happen on this earth. People are going to be wanting to die and can't die. You're hearing some of these horror stories now of people who can't get into hospitals in certain states. They have to go to other states because the hospitals are filled. They don't have the machinery to keep them alive. People are dying. You wouldn't think that could happen in America. But here we are starting to get used to the things of people dying from plagues in America. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, you guys have got 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jumping down to verse 5, so the people of Nineveh, listen to this, believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. This was probably the greatest revival ever, because these were not nice people. But suddenly they saw this man being washed on the beach out of a fish, telling them something was going to happen, and miraculously they repented. They didn't just pretend to repent. They did everything they could to show that they were truly sorry. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He was the king of the then world empire. Assyria was the ruling world empire. Can you imagine the president doing that? But that's what it would be like. But like the queen of England taking off her crown and putting on sackcloth and ashes. This shows you what true repentance is about. It's a change. It's not a pretend. It's not I'm sorry. It's an action. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. See, true repentance also involves sacrifice. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to truly humble yourself. Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink. This was a total fast. They were desperate. They believed something bad was about to happen to Nineveh. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn. That's what repentance is. Turn, turn, everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger and we perish not? And you know the story. Jonah was mad because he really wanted them to be destroyed. He didn't want them to have mercy. But God is rich in mercy. He can turn your worst enemy into a saint. He turned Paul, the killer of Christians, into Apostle Paul. He can turn a heart that you would think is a write-off, is no hope, because he is rich in mercy. Bible says in Romans, where sin doth abound, grace doth, not a little bit, much more abound. God is so merciful. If we will repent, if we will come to him and say, Lord, there's things in my heart still that I need cleaned up. There's little areas that I still am holding on to. There's still parts of me that I don't want to let go. There's revenge. There's anger. There's all kinds of little things. But when we truly repent and let those things go, God is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. Jonah was mad. God, I knew you were going to do this. That's why I didn't want to come. I wanted them destroyed. You ever wanted someone destroyed? Come on now. Let's all confess. There have been instances where if we had God-like powers, psh, there goes you, psh, out of my way. Isn't God merciful? He doesn't give us God-like powers, but he is rich in mercy. And God had to tell Jonah, do you realize, Jonah, there's 120,000 little kids. There's 120,000 babies in Nineveh who don't know right from wrong. You want me to destroy them too? That's what Jonah was asking. But God had mercy on Nineveh, and they escaped destruction for over 150 years till that generation had passed. You see, there's a danger with continuing to rebuff God and put off repentance. We can get a hardened heart where we're so used to being presumptuous on God's mercy and not truly repenting that our heart becomes calloused. The doctor, when he was treating my hand, he told me that I had a lot of scar tissue. That was why I couldn't move it that much. It had become hardened. They had to go in again and cut away the hardened tissue. That's what can happen to us when we don't repent. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, one of the most strictest, saddest scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament anyway, says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. It's sad for me as a pastor when I think of some people, because they're right on the edge. If they shall fall away, the Bible says to renew them again unto repentance. Some people are right on the edge. They don't know how much danger they're in. They don't realize that God is about to say, stop, don't pray for them no more. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing if we do not repent, if we continue to be presumptuous of God's mercy. And just, the Bible says that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we're disobedient to God, when we're faithless to God, when we don't put him first in our lives. It says if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing, it's the same as crucifying Jesus afresh. And they put him to an open shame. Paul speaks about this in Romans chapter 2, verse 5. And he says, but after thy hardness and impenitent, that means unrepentant heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath. People who don't repent don't realize that they're treasuring up God's wrath. And sometimes I think about how angry God must be when he looks at his creation, when he looks at the beautiful thing he started with, and he looks at the mess that's going down, when he thinks about man's inhumanity to man, the awful things you hear about people doing to other people, and yet he has not taken action. He's giving one more day for repentance. But one day, the angel's going to put one foot on the sand and one foot on the sea, and he's going to say, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. There is going to be a day of wrath. There is going to be a day of judgment. Bible says in Matthew, Jesus said, listen, don't fear him that can just kill your body, but rather fear him that can kill your body and soul where? In hell. Hell is a real place. It is a place of torment. There is going to be a judgment day. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. We are going to have to give an account. I'd rather repent now. I'd rather make it right now. Romans chapter 2 verse 6 says that God will render to every man according to his deeds. What have we done with what God has given us? Because he's going to render to us according to our deeds. In Matthew 24:12, he says, because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. That's what happened to the church of Ephesus. They started out good. They had lots of good programs and works. They fed the poor. They did all this stuff. But they didn't have their first love. God was no longer the focus. Evangelism was no longer the focus. Programs was the focus. Hype was the focus. A show at church was the focus. See, it's time for us to repent. Revelation chapter 3:19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Again, here comes that word. And repent. Repent. That's what the message is today. The message for today, for all of us, for me and for you, is we need to repent. David had this great insight into God's mercy. He did a lot of bad stuff. He killed somebody. He committed adultery. But the one thing David knew how to do was to truly repent. In Psalm 51 verse 1, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David knew how to repent. He realized he had really messed up. He had given into the flesh. But the one secret of David was that he knew how to humble himself. He wasn't proud. He remembered that he was one time just a little shepherd's boy. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. You contrast that with Saul, who messed up, didn't even do as bad as David did. But his thing was when the prophet came, honor me before the people. Don't let them know I messed up. Let's just front it. Don't tell them anything. Let's just pretend everything's okay. You understand why Saul did not get mercy? Because he was not humble. He did not understand, as David said in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. If we could stand today. In a time that we think not, is when the Lord himself is going to suddenly come to his temple. And he's only taking those people who have repented, not because we're perfect, but we have repented. We have not acknowledged our sins. As I said, this message was not to unsaved. It was to the seven churches, people who, on the face of it, should have been the leading in spirituality. But seven times in just the one chapter to the seven churches, he had to say, repent. And each time there was something that he talked about that was going to happen if they didn't. Some of it was quite bad. To the church of Thyatira, they said, listen, if you don't repent, you're going to go through great tribulation. I don't want to have to be on the pigsty before I come to my senses, before I acknowledge my mistakes. Now is the time that we can repent before we get to that stage of tribulation. But I'm preaching the message that Jesus commanded. I'm not knocking the other messages of hope and all of that, but he said that preaching repentance and remission of sins should be done in his name. And so today, my conscience is clear. I've preached that. I've preached that. It's up to us now to respond and ask God, Lord, if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you, I repent of it. Lord, I'm sorry for just taking you for granted, for just assuming you understand. And I'm asking you, like the prodigal son, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. Make me as one of your servants. I'm not going to ask anyone to come to the altar. I'm just going to ask the church to come to the altar. Because as 1 John says, if anyone says he has not sinned, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. God is calling his church to repentance. He's calling every single one of us to repentance. And if today we will say in our hearts, Lord, every day I'm going to die daily. Every day I'm going to seek your face. Every day I want to make sure that I'm at a repentant point. Because I know that when you come, you're looking for a church that was without spot or wrinkle. It's time for us to stop making excuses and saying God will understand. What God understands is whether you have repented or not. And I don't mean cry. I mean make up in your mind that you are going to try and obey his commands. Hallelujah. The message is repent. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That's what he's saying. David knew how to do this. We're going to close this service. I'm not going to keep on talking. But I think this message today is from God, and it's to me. I want to repent today. I want to ask God to look into my heart, just as David did. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's what he says in the Psalms. That's what we need today, to purify ourselves. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we would not need to be judged. Hallelujah. So right now, if you could just reach out and just ask God in your heart, Lord, we need to repent. Father, we come to you this afternoon, Lord, as a church. Lord, we do not want you to remove our candlestick. Lord, you said to the seven churches, if they did not repent, you would remove their candlestick. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this afternoon. Lord, we ask you to search our heart, Lord. Lord, take out everything that is not of you. Lord, we bow down before you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, that we ask, oh God, for you to clean us. Let our love for you be pure. Lord, let your priority, your work be number one in our hearts. Let us not, Lord, put anything before you, Jesus. We seek your face. Lord, we seek your work in our lives to clean us up. We can't do it. But Lord, we ask right now that your righteousness, Lord God, would be our covering, that your banner over us, Lord God, Lord, would be Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. Lord, that you would also be our healer, Jehovah Rapha. Lord God, that you, hallelujah, would be our shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. Lord God, that you would be our righteousness, Jehovah Tissachem. Lord, we ask right now, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would help us in our repentance, Lord God, that you would fill the gaps that we cannot do. Lord, that you would right the wrongs, oh God. Lord Jesus, oh God, give us a heart after your own self, Lord God. Lord God, that we can teach others, Lord, that we can comfort others, that we can lead others, that we can preach your gospel of repentance. Jesus, we ask it in your name right now, and we give you thanks right now, Lord, because you are a merciful and gracious God. Come on, church, let's just give God a praise offering right now. If you have